Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the seventh canto, chapter 7, text number 42. Prahlad Maharaj instructs his classmates what he learned in the womb. I have a nice picture here, but everybody's pretty far away. You can't see. It's Prahlad Maharaj instructing his classmates. So, anyway. Sukhaya. Dukha. Mokshaya. Sankalpa. Iha. Karminaha. Sadapnoti haya. Dukham. Anihayaha. Sukharitaha. Sukhaya dukha mokshaya. Sankalpa iha karminaha. Sadapnoti haya dukham. Anihayaha sukharitaha. Sukhaya dukha mokshaya. Sankalpa iha karminaha. Sada no ti haya dukham. Anihayaha sukharitaha. Sukhaya dukha mokshaya. Sankalpa iha karmanyaha. Sadapnoti haya dukham. Anihayaha sukharitaha. Sukhaya dukha mokshaya. Vaishnavis. Sukhaya dukha mokshaya. Sankalpa iha karminaha. Sadapnoti haya dukham. Anihaya sukharitaha. Sukhaya. For achieving happiness by a so-called higher standard of life. Dukha mokshaya. For becoming free from misery. Sankalpaha. The determination. Iha. in this world. Karminaha, of the living entity, trying for economic development. Sada, always. Apnoti, achieves. Ihaya, by activity or ambition. Dukkham, only unhappiness. Anihayaha, and from not desiring economic development. Sukha, by happiness. Aritaha, covered. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this material world, every materialist desires to achieve happiness and diminish his distress. And therefore he acts accordingly. Actually, however, one is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. As soon as one begins his activities for happiness, his conditions of distress begin. Please repeat. In this material world, every materialist desires to achieve happiness and diminish his distress. And therefore he acts accordingly. Actually, however, one is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. As soon as one begins his activities for happiness, his conditions of distress begin. Purport. Every conditioned soul is bound by the laws of material nature, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha. Bhagavad Gita 3:27. Everyone has achieved a certain type of body given by material nature according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridayeshu arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantrarudani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, for Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. Bhagavad Gita 18:61. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, is present in everyone's heart. And as the living entity desires, the Lord gives him facilities with which to work according to his ambitions in different grades of bodies. The body is just like an instrument by which the living entity moves according to false desires for happiness and thus suffers the pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease in different standards of life. Everyone begins his activities with some plan and ambition. But actually, from the beginning of one's plan to the end, one does not derive any happiness. On the contrary, as soon as one begins acting according to his plan, his life of distress immediately begins. Therefore, one should not be ambitious to dissipate the unhappy conditions of life, for one cannot do anything about them. Ahankara vimuratma kartaham iti manyate, Bhagavad Gita 3:27. Although one is acting according to false ambitions, he thinks he can improve his material conditions by his activities. The Vedas enjoin that one should not try to increase happiness or decrease distress, for this is futile. Taishava hetu prayateta kovidaha. One should work for self-realization, not for economic development, which is impossible to improve. Without endeavor, one cannot get the amount of happiness and distress for which he is destined. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll read that again. Without endeavor, one can get the amount of happiness and distress for which he is destined. And one cannot change this. So without endeavor, you get the amount of happiness and distress that you're destined. Therefore, it is better to use one's time for advancement in the spiritual life of Krishna consciousness. One should not waste his valuable life as a human being. It is better to utilize this life for developing Krishna consciousness without ambitions for so-called happiness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Didanti Kam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastari Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa Tubhischa Kripasindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavini Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha. So one may read this particular sloka and think, well, so we can't be happy here? So we should all have a frown on our face? There's one famous personality, I think he was like a Supreme Court justice or something, and he said, you know, I might have taken the vocation of, you know, religious vocation, spiritual vocation, if those people weren't walking around with expressions of caretakers. So you could see that caretakers are always the gloom and the dead, carrying the dead like that. But what is the sign of happiness? It's when you crack a smile on your face. We see the happy face, you know, of many people. And this is supposed to be the indication of happiness. And as we've been given secrets by many of the great devotees thousands of years ago, we have been given the secret how to actually be happy. And one of the greatest teachers is Narada Muni. And Narada Muni is the one who taught Prahlad Maharaj, who is now giving the same instructions to his friends at school. And Narada Muni has many great disciples. And one of his other disciples was Dhruva Maharaj. And he gave him some clues on how to be happy. This is from the fourth canto. Yashaya daiva vihitam satena sukha dukhayo atmanam toshayan dehi tamasaha param richati. One should try to keep himself satisfied in any condition of life, whether distress or happiness, which is offered by the Supreme Will. A person who endures in this way is able to cross over the darkness of nescience very easily. And Prabhupada brings this out more clearly in his purport. Because as long as we're understanding here, as long as one is engaged in any kind of activity that's other than devotional service, that results in happiness and distress of the material world. And here Prabhupada writes, when we enjoy life in so-called material happiness, it is to be understood that we are diminishing the resultant actions of our pious activities. And when we're put into suffering, it is to be understood that we are diminishing the resultant actions of our impious activities. Instead of being attached to the circumstantial happiness and distress resulting from pious or impious activities, if we want to get out of the clutches of this nescience, then whatever position we are put in by the will of the Lord, we should accept. Thus, If we simply surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we shall get out of the clutches of this material existence. And right in the next verse, Narada Muni is still instructing Dhruva Maharaj and is given some very important functions on how to be happy. And he says here, Gunadikan mudam lipsed anukrosham gunadamat maitrim samanad anvichen natapur abibuyate. Every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate towards him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. Now, this is really deep. If you just really meditate on this one verse alone, this is the clue on how one can remain happy in this material world. Prabhupada writes in the purport, and he gives an example of this, how generally if we find someone that's more qualified than us, we become envious of him. And if we find someone less qualified, then we deride him. And then when we find someone equal, we become proud of our activities. So Prabhupada says, instead of trying to be envious of one that's more qualified than you, just be joyful, be jolly to see him. Just like Jayapataka Maharaj is here, all the devotees were jumping in happiness. They were very jolly. In the light of the Bhagavad, it describes that how just like the peacocks, they become very happy at the sign of clouds and they dance in joy. So the spiritual master, the great devotees are like rain clouds that give us the mercy to nourish us. And Prabhupada says, instead of being oppressive towards one less advanced, we should be compassionate towards them and try to help raise them up to a higher standard. Just like there's a nice analogy that's used. You see these geese that fly in the V formation. And it's very interesting. The scientists have analyzed how the geese flying, the one in front, makes an uplift for the one behind him. So they say that these geese flying flocks together, they can fly 71% farther than if they were just flying on their own strength. So this is how powerful it is to be an association of devotees, and how Narada Muni is given this instruction here, that how to be happy in this world. Associate with these people that are more advanced. They will uplift you. They'll make it easier for you. And Prabhupada also mentioned how instead of being proud of one's activities before someone that's equal, then you befriend him. You know, you be friends. You help each other. So this is the compassion that we should give them because they're forgetting Krishna. And Prabhupada ends the purport by saying, these important functions will make one happy within this material world. So this is how to become happy. This is a very deep secret that we should try to understand and study these instructions by these great souls. Prabhupada gives many references in the purport. One from the Bhagavad Gita, how the spirit soul is bewildered by the influence of false ego. His thinking himself, the doer of activities, which are actually carried out by the three modes of material nature. So as we understood that this body is like a machine, and according to our desires, we're given a particular situation to enjoy the fruits of those desires. We're not independent. We can't be proudly thinking that this is all by my endeavor. But it's not. Just like people think, what's the secret to happiness? Like there's a whole philosophy of the secret. But there's a problem to that. Just by emanating positive energy, you're going to attract positive things. That's what God does. God is, he emanates all these things. We're not God. We're not in control. You know, who's, you have two fighters, they're both emanating positive energy. Who's going to win? The one that's more positive or the one that's more strong? So this, we have to be free from this false ego. That's what makes us forget our relationship with Krishna. Prabhupada also refers to the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna is situated in the heart and he's directing all the wanderings of the living entities as if they're seated on a machine. And this is true. Prabhupada writes in the purport to that verse that as soon as a living entity is placed in a particular type of body, he has to work under the spell of that bodily situation. A person seated on a high-speed motor car goes faster than one seated in a slower car, though the living entities, the drivers may be the same. Similarly, by the order of the Supreme Soul, material nature fashions a particular type of body to a particular type of living entity, so that he may work according to his past desires. The living entity is not independent. One should not think himself independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual is always under the Lord's control. Therefore, our duty is simply to surrender. And then the next verse, Krishna actually right there tells Arjuna to surrender. This is in the 18th chapter, right before even the Sarvadharma verse. He says, O Sainabharata, surrender unto him utterly. By his grace you attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. So if we just simply surrender to Krishna, who's in everyone's heart, then we'll become free from all these miseries of material existence. And then not only that, but at the end, we'll reach his eternal abode. So there's some other references that Prabhupada is referring to in this particular purport. And that's the verse from the first canto. And it says that persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for that purposeful end which is not attainable even by wandering from the topmost planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Pataloka, Patala. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time. Just as in course of time, we obtain miseries, even though we do not desire them. So here again and again, we're just being telling us how actually we have to be intelligent and philosophically inclined and understand that we are not the controller, we're not these bodies. Prabhupada also refers to another verse. This is, it's kind of implied here that reminded me of this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, how, you know, if you're not connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can't have transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, and without which there's no peace. And without peace, how can you be happy? And then Prabhupada referred in the purport to this particular verse how that if we just understand how Krishna is the enjoyer of all the good results, sacrifices, and penances, that he's the proprietor of the universe and all its manifestations, and that he's your real friend, then and only can you achieve peace. And Prabhupada writes in that purport, therefore, if one is not in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be a final goal for the mind. Disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal. And one is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor, and friend of everyone and everything, then one can, with a steady mind, bring about peace. So just see, Krishna consciousness is a self-manifested peaceful condition. And we can develop this only by developing a relationship with Krishna. So now, everybody's planning for Sukhaya, for the matter of happiness. And this Dukkha Moksha, they're trying to get rid of all these miseries. This is our plan. sukhaya, dukkha, mokshaya, sankalpa. Our determination is like this in this material world, to make our life happy, to avoid distress, and that's our plan. But Prabhupada writes, but that is simply plan making within our mind. Actually, it is never achieved. There's so many nationalists, economists, and other ambitious persons. They're tried for happiness, individually or collectively. But history has proved that they've all been frustrated. We've already heard this in previous purport. In recent history, we have seen many political leaders work hard for individual and collective economic development, but they have all failed. This is a law of nature. And this is what's explained in the verse today. So just see what's happened. In modern civilization, Prabhupada writes, 99.9% of the people are engaged in activities of sense gratification. Under the flags of industrialism, economic development, altruism, political activism, and so on. All these activities are more or less based on satisfaction of the senses, to the exclusion of the kind of God consciousness. So, everyone is trying to be happy without God, which is impossible. So what's the result of all this economic industrialization? There was a nice article, I think it was in the Back to Godhead magazine, and it said that by so-called progressive work of modern civilization, millions of people have unnecessarily suffered physically and psychologically from the influences of over-industrialization, result in social degeneration and conflict. The Vedic system is, however, is one of simplicity in which a man can live happily with his wife, perform his occupational duty, and remain happy serving the Lord with the gifts that he provides. His most valuable asset, his breath, he also offers to God simply by singing his name, chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thus the devotee uses Krishna's energy to please Krishna in pure devotional service. So we're given the clues, the secrets that are given to us in the Srimad Bhagavatam by all the great souls. And we'll see in this chapter as we go on, Prahlad Maharaj is going to bring this point more and more, that why should one waste his time for economic development, which is neither pleasing nor permanent to the soul. There's one particular purport in this ahead in this chapter. Prabhupada says, the satisfaction of possessing material opulence, although perhaps of different standard, is available in the lives of dogs and hogs who cannot revive their eternal relationship with Krishna. In human life, however, our eternal dormant relationship with Krishna is possible to revive. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj has described this life as artadam. Consequently, instead of wasting our time for economic development, which cannot give us any happiness, if we simply try to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna, we will properly utilize our lives. Anyway, as Prahlad Maharaj is going to bring out in this chapter as we go on, he's going to really bring the real fact that actually this body is simply meant to become stool or earth. And anything related to this body, any kind of paraphernalia, any kind of material relationships, residences, wealth, whatever, treasuries, animals, as was described in this chapter, they're also temporary. He's describing that all the paraphernalia that's very dear to us, as long as this body exists, it'll soon be destroyed. And therefore, anything in relationship to it is also destroyed. So he says here, therefore, actually one has nothing to do with them, but because of ignorance, one accepts them as valuable, becomes precious to them. Compared to the ocean of eternal happiness, They are most insignificant. What is the use of such insignificant relationships for the eternal living being? So Prabhupada writes in the purport that we shouldn't be so attached to temporary things. These things of the mature world is what seems to be we develop our relationship with. Things, mature objects that are just temporary. How can you become happy with these things? So there's a nice verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brahmanda Brahmete Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhaktalata Bij. That the living entity, he's rotating in the cycle of birth and death. He goes somewhere, sometimes up into higher planets, sometimes to the lower planets. But that's not the solution to the problems of life. But if by the grace, one is fortunate enough to meet a guru or a representative of Krishna, one gets the clue of returning home back to Godhead. And that's how he achieves his Krishna consciousness. So again, this is how association with devotees, these clues that are given by Narada Muni, that if we see someone more advanced, we should actually serve them, become jollyful. And Prahlad Maharaj also mentioned how in the same way that we take care of ourselves, if we just take to devotional service and satisfy Krishna, then we will actually attain our real happiness. So that's the real clue, is that if we just do this one thing, we just seek out the satisfaction of Krishna, we won't have to chase down blessings, joy, happiness, peace, prosperity, all these things. They will actually come to you automatically. Actually, Krishna has given us everything to use. But all this wealth is being used against his purposes, as we've described by the industrialists. Krishna knows what we want. You know, he's in our heart, as we were describing here. He's making arrangements for them. He's the one that, you know, gives us. He's the super soul in the heart. He reminds us of these desires. He's fulfilling our desires. He knows actually what's best for us. He's already planned out a life for us, full of victory. So if we just let God lead, us down the right path, then we won't have to struggle to make things happen. Simply by this one thing of trying to please Krishna, then all the things necessary for us to become happy, fulfilling our desires. You know, Krishna has so much for us. We're in this great tradition. We have royal blood, royal spiritual blood. Our gotra is the Achyuta gotra, as when you come to Krishna consciousness. And then we have great opulences that Krishna will actually bring out in each and every one of us if we just simply do that one thing. Just try to please Krishna in the same way that you try to take care of your own self. Just please him. He's just looking for that love and affection. And then he reciprocates. Because he loves everyone. He loves all his. He's the seed-giving father. We're in his line. So this is how we become happy in this mature world and ultimately get out of here and go back to the spiritual world. So I'll end there. If there's any comments or questions, realizations? Yes.
Thank you. In the beginning of the class, you were saying how bodies are like machines, and right. We are giving the facility to fulfill any desire we have. And I was kind of writing at that point, but seemed like an interesting topic, but I didn't really catch it in my ear. I was wondering if you could explain that a little more.
Yeah, that's described in the Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada used that quote here. How? Let's see. Let me find that for you. It's in the Bhagavad Gita 1861. So you can write that down and you could study that, how he's in the heart and He's directing our wandering as if we're seated on a machine. So it's very nicely described there. Okay? Yeah. So, Ganesh, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu, you were discussing how the proper way to associate with devotees, how if you find Vaishnavas that are more advanced, you should render service to them. Mm-hmm. Vaishnavas on the same, more or less on the same level, make friendship with them, and the Vaishnavas that are not as advanced, to be merciful towards them?
Yes, exactly.
I would think that takes a lot of purity to be able to discern and have that kind of discrimination. I mean, I'm a fool, so I've been here a long time, and I'm not sure always. Sometimes they think I'm advanced, and I go, oh, I'm not really advanced. And then it's like, so you think I'm advanced, so I don't know where I stand half the time. So I just sort of think everyone's more advanced, and I just try to serve everyone.
Sure.
But how can we better discern that? How can we have better discrimination in being able to do that properly? Because otherwise it can be very topsy-turvy. Everyone thinks they already know exactly where they are, and then everyone starts associating with each other in a strange way, which may be breaching Vaishnava etiquette. So if you have a little, anyone here has a little input on that, please give me some.
Sure. That's described in the fourth canto in the eighth chapter. If you read that chapter, you'll see actually these instructions were given by Narada Muni to Dhruva Maharaj. And just like you're saying, you know, it's kind of hard, can't do it. Dhruva Maharaj actually flatly refused. He said, that's not for me, I'm a Kshatriya. You know, I want to get even with my stepmother. In fact, I want all the opulences of the material world. I want a kingdom greater than my great-grandfather, who is Lord Brahma. That was an impossible proposition. How could you have a kingdom greater than Lord Brahma? But Narada Muni understood and knew he was determined. So Narada Muni said, actually what your mother has given you instructions on how to be successful, they're actually correct to engage in devotional service. So Narada Muni very intelligently engaged him in devotional service. And he gave him the mantra. And he, you know, was engaged in this mystic process at that time. That was possible for him. But for this day and age, simply by chanting the holy names of God and engaging in devotional service, we will actually be able to discriminate. We'll actually get the result. And in fact, Dhruva Maharaj was actually following these instructions because he was very much submissive and humble, and he followed the instructions of a person more advanced than him. And he knew that if he did that, then he would get all success. And just simply because he was engaged in the instructions of a pure devotee, Krishna blessed him and gave him everything. We know how he was blessed, and he did achieve actually something greater than Lord Brahma. So all we have to do is simply engage in devotional service, try to please Krishna. That was what was understood. That's how all the great kings, all the great sadhus, great personalities in the Bhagavatam, that's how they're successful. You'll see time and time again, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, all these personalities that became successful, their simple desire was to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we try to please Krishna. And how? Simply by chanting the holy names, you know, taking prasadam, dancing, chanting, going out in Harinam, distributing books, you know, imbibing this philosophy and spreading it. That's the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement. So I hope that helps. Is that all right? Okay. So. All right. Any other comments or realizations? Okay, thank you very much for your kind attention. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam.